I want to start this morning with a confession. And you're going to laugh at me, and that's okay. I have an audiobook problem. I love audiobooks and listen to them all the time. You know, I have a long car ride here, so I listen all the way here and all the way back. And sometimes I have to turn the book back on when I get home. And I knew that I had a problem this week because this happened. I started to feel really angry about something. And my first thought was, if I just go listen to a book for a while, maybe I'll forget about this and I won't have to deal with it at all. That's not good. That's kind of a red flag. So I was listening to an audiobook this week. I was listening to Brené Brown. She's a researcher. She researches shame. And she was talking about shame and creativity. And I was at home, and the minute she said it, I paused the book, turned to Ivy, and with absolutely no explanation, said, I was little. I was at church. We were making cards to send to missionaries. And I used every color of marker, every single marker, just spots all over the card. And I thought it was awesome. I thought I was Jackson Pollock if all Jackson Pollock had was Crayola products. And as I was working on it, the teacher came over, took it in her hand, and gave me this look. And she said, "What a mess you have made." And she said, "We can't send this. We can't send this to the missionaries." And she took it and she put it in a separate pile from the other children's cards. And their cards would go and brighten a missionary's day, and my card would go in the trash can. And I hear that voice all the time when I am about to draw or sing or play an instrument or write something like a sermon. I hear that voice all the time. You are going to make a mess, and it's going to have to be thrown away. And I have to quiet that voice, and I've gotten pretty good at quieting it. I have to quiet that voice so that I can be creative. Well, Brené Brown says that a lot of us have one of those memories from when we were young, when somebody told us that whatever our creative effort was, it wasn't good enough, it didn't look good, it didn't sound good, something that created a little bit of shame in us about something creative we had done. By a show of hands, how many of you have a memory from when you were young like that? Oh, hands are shooting up. Okay, that's most of us. That feels good. We are not alone in this. And I bet for a lot of you, it was about your voice. I bet that it was about singing. That someone told you maybe you ought to leave that to somebody else. Well, at the core of that is this belief that if somebody hears your creation, that they'll know the truth, that you are not worthy, that you are not lovable. At the core of that is our fear that we are not worthy of love, and that if we sing or draw or whatever, that somebody will figure us out. And so this morning, I just want to say BS. You are lovable because love created you. You are lovable because you are made in the image of God, who is love. You are made in the image of the Creator. And so creativity is who you are. And for all of us who were born with a voice, singing is our birthright. You started singing as an infant. You started playing with pitch and moving it up and down. Ooh! You started cooing. That was the beginning of your singing voice, and it is your right to sing no matter what it sounds like. And this morning, in the sermon, scary, I know, we are going to sing. And so we're going to start with the basics. We're going to start with what you have known how to do since you were an infant, knowing that you are incredibly lovable and that we all love you here. You can be silly. And we are going to start. Step one is just cooing. Just move your voice up and down the way you did when you were an infant. Ready? Go. Ah, ooh, 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 ah. Yes. You did it. You sang. That's step one. Excellent. Then you got a little bit older, and I bet you started organizing pitch in time. And I bet you did it on the playground, and it probably sounded like this. La, 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 la. Go ahead. Yes. Step two, passed with flying colors. Very good. So then you got maybe a little bit older, and then people started imparting knowledge to you in song, because that's a natural thing that we humans do. We impart knowledge through song. And I bet one of the first pieces of knowledge that was given to you through song sounded like this. Join me when you figure it out. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, and Z. With gusto. Now I know my ABCs. Next time, won't you sing with me? Yes, a joyful noise. Next time, won't you sing with me? And you got asked that question, and I bet when you were tiny, you said yes every time. Oh, yes, I will sing with you. But you got a little bit older, and somebody said, next time, won't you sing with me? And you said, oh, you don't want me to sing. I bet a lot of you have said that. I think I've heard some of you say it. We started saying no. We got afraid. We lost our courage to sing. But what happens when we draw up our courage and use our voices? What happens when we do sing? I want to tell you three stories this morning. Each of them a story of singing with courage. They are all sacred stories that are worthy of our study. And the first one happens to come from the Bible. Paul and Silas were in prison, and they had been put there because they freed a slave girl. They healed her of her condition and freed her. And that was a really unpopular thing to do. And so they were thrown in jail. And that's where we pick up our story in Acts chapter 16, verses 25 to 34. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns. And the other prisoners were listening to them. All at once, there was such a violent earthquake that it shook the prison's foundations. The doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. When the jailer awoke and saw the open doors of the prison, he thought the prisoners had escaped. So he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul shouted loudly, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." The jailer called for some lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He led them outside and asked his prisoners, "Honorable masters, what must I do to be rescued?" They replied, "Believe the Lord Jesus, and you will be rescued, you and your entire household." They spoke the Lord's word to him and everyone else in his house. Right then, in the middle of the night, the jailer welcomed them and washed their wounds. He and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. He brought them into his home and gave them a meal. He was overjoyed because he and everyone in his household had come to believe in God. I was thinking about what hymn were they singing? I don't know a lot of first century hymns, so I have no idea. But it had to be something that was deep in their bones. Something that they would recall in their worst moment. Something heartfelt and powerful. Think about what that might be for you. In your worst moment, what is the song that you can recall to draw your strength and your hope for freedom from whatever it is that has you bound? I was thinking for us as a community, it might just be Amazing Grace. That might be the thing that we would draw on in our worst moment that would give us the hope that freedom is possible. That we could sing like Paul and Silas from prison. Okay, this is step four. Can we sing it together?
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
And with that, the prison begins to shake and the chains break free. And what I love about this story is that the literal chains on the prisoners break free. And then, whatever it was that had the jailer bound in his soul also broke free. That's some powerful singing. Story number two. We fast forward. Now it's 1965. And a group had just marched from Selma to Montgomery, Alabama. They had marched for their freedom. And as the march concluded, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. got up and he spoke. He told them that it was right that they march for freedom, that the precedent had been set a long time ago for them. And he reminded them of the biblical story of Joshua's army marching around the walled city of Jericho. And as they marched and blew their trumpets and sang, the walls came tumbling down. As Dr. King put it that day, the barriers to freedom came tumbling down. And of course, being reminded of that story, he couldn't help but remind them of that great spiritual. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. Sing it again. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down. And then he reminded them of this verse. Up to the walls of Jericho they marched, spear in hand. Go blow them ram horns, Joshua cried, 'cause the battle am in my hand. And he reminded them, the battle is in our hands. We've already got it. By the time we have drawn up our courage enough that the march is in our feet and the song is in our voice, the battle for freedom is in our hands. Some of those barriers have already started to crumble by the time we've found our courage. Third and final story. It was 1978. Harvey Milk, the first openly gay elected official, was assassinated at San Francisco City Hall. That night and in the days and weeks that followed, there were vigils and marches. And one of the folks that was there at that time was Holly Neer. Holly is a singer-songwriter. And 35 years later, she stood on the steps of City Hall at a memorial, a service of remembrance, and she recalled that time. She said, "We walk in a long tradition of people who have been wounded and hurt. And that rage that we felt after these assassinations was so powerful, and we had a choice at that moment to fall prey to grief and rage, or to turn those emotions into a movement." And so after that assassination, in her car on the way to a vigil, she wrote this song that they sang. It went like this. "We are a gentle, angry people, and we are singing, singing for our lives. We are a gentle, angry people, and we are singing, singing for our lives." Will you try that with me? "We are a gentle, angry people, and we are singing, singing for our lives. We are a gentle, angry people, and we are singing, singing for our lives." As I was preparing for this Sunday, I thought about that moment in history. And I thought about how I came out as a lesbian a decade ago, but I've never had quite that feeling, that I'm singing for my life. I've had the feeling that I'm singing for my right to get married. I've had the feeling that I'm singing for the love of some of my family members and friends. But I've never had the feeling that I was singing for my life. But then I woke up this morning and saw that miles from my childhood home, there was a mass murder in a gay bar in Orlando, Florida. Excuse me, I'm sorry. And we don't know the exact numbers yet, but it is definitely the largest one that we have seen in a very long time. And the Harvey Milk Foundation put out a statement this morning. "Last night, the worst domestic terror attack since 9/11 has tragically hit American LGBT families head on. Children, moms, dads, neighbors, friends, lives that are changed forever. In the days ahead, we will come to know the latest victims of hatred, mostly young men and women who were simply out for a night of dancing and enjoyment of our community during LGBT Pride Month. These victims of a hate crime targeting an LGBT club had their futures stolen, had their dreams stolen, their potential contributions stolen from us all. The LGBT Orlando community and our allies in Central Florida are both strong and unified. We send a world of love and prayers to all who are grieving today and to all who will begin the hard journey to recover from untold wounds, both physical and emotional. But our love and prayers are simply not enough. Hate and separation continue to bring forth too much grief, too many stolen lives across the whole world. As we reach out to comfort the Orlando families, and as we support the courage for the injured to heal, may we also have the strength to address and deal with the roots of hatred and separation that target any minority community with violence anywhere in the world. May we find a way forward to make this act of horrendous violence a commitment to come together and so honor the memories of those who were killed today. On the steps of San Francisco City Hall, Holly Neer remembered that after Harvey Milk's assassination, they had sung together, "We are gay and lesbian people, and we are singing for our lives." And how powerful that had been, because for many it was the first time those words had crossed their lips, and because it felt so true. And so for those long ago that were singing for their lives, and for those today whose hearts are singing for their lives, whether you are gay or lesbian or something else, I invite you to sing, "We are gay and lesbian people, and we are singing for our lives." We are gay and lesbian people, and we are singing, singing for our lives. We are gay and lesbian people, and we are singing, singing for our lives. Yes. And Holly reminded them of one more thing, that when they found their courage to sing, that it would spread, that there were many others who are singing for their lives, who need us to find our courage, who need us to find our voices so that they can do what's best for their lives. So we find the courage in our own voice. We find the courage to respond to "Next Time Won't You Sing With Me," so that we can inspire others who are singing for their lives too. There are many. In our world right now, transgender people are truly singing for their lives. African Americans are truly singing for their lives. Refugees are singing for their lives. Immigrants are singing for their lives. People with mental illness are singing for their lives. And so, in solidarity this morning, we sing one more verse. For all who suffer, and that's all of us at some point, we are all in this together, and we are singing for our lives. We are all in this together, and we are singing, singing for our lives. We are all in this together, and we are singing, singing for our lives. Amen.